How many is ready for the Word of God? Well, I'm ready to give you what I've got. And like Trisha said, this is the first time I've... How many has ever heard me share a message that I've shared before? How many has ever listened to me? But this is fresh. This is something I've never preached before. And I've been meditating on it. I've got scripture down. And I just hope it comes out the way God wants it to come out. I was in a sleep the other day. How many is there like you've been asleep and not quite asleep? You know, you're laying there in the bed, but wee hours of the morning. And it just rolled over in my spirit. We must be about our Father's business. We must be about our Father's business. I'm going to take you to where this scripture came from. Let's look in the book of Luke. Book of Luke chapter 9, or chapter 2 rather. Luke chapter 2. And let's look in verse 49. I'm going to share from the Amplified, but I'm going to read the 49 from the King James. And he said unto them, Jesus said it to him, "How is it that you sought me?" He's talking. Let me preface. I'm going to go ahead with this. He said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And I'll preface that with, they had gone to Jerusalem. His family had taken Jesus to Jerusalem for the Passover. And they were busy in Jerusalem, doing whatever they were doing for the Passover, and then it came time for them to leave. Well, they left Jerusalem, and the scripture said they traveled a day's journey. And I'm not sure how far that is. A day's journey on Sabbath. On the Sabbath, a day's journey is 3/4 of a mile. They were, on a Sabbath day, they could travel 3/4 of a mile. But I'm not sure how long the day's journey would have been, and they went. And they looked for Jesus and couldn't find him. And he's 12 years old. And they looked for him in the camp, and they couldn't find him. Said they looked different wagons, looked all over the camp, and relatives and friends, and couldn't find him. So they went back to Jerusalem and took 3 days to find him. 3 days. Jerusalem must have been a pretty good sized city back then, and a lot of people. So it took him 3 days to find him. And then that's what he said. And the Amplified says, "And he said and said to them, 'How is it that you had to look for me?'" I mean, here's a 12-year-old kid. What do you mean you had to look for me? He said, Did you not see and know that it is necessary as a duty for me to be in my Father's house and occupied about my Father's business?" And verse 50 says, "And they did not comprehend what he was saying to them. And he went down with them." I like this. "He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was habitually obedient to them. And his mother kept and closely, persistently guarded all these things in her heart." Because when he said that, she began to think about what? I think she knew, but she didn't have the fullness of understanding. And I like verse 52. It says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom, in broad and full understanding, and in stature and years, and in favor with God and man." Now, when you're thinking about God's business, what do you think about? What's the business of God? What is God's business? How can you describe that? How can you describe God's business when he has the universe that he's to watch over? He's got a handful of chores. You know what that means? We got to be busy about our Father's business. What is my part? And I like what Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians. How he said God places in the body as he sees fit. God places in the body as he sees fit where we best adapt. So when we're in the body of Christ, we need to be functioning in our Father's business. The church is God's business. The fullness of the church is God's business. Everything the church consists of is God's business. So what am I doing in the church? What is my business in the church? And then you think about what Paul told the church in Ephesus. How we're all fitly joined together. Do you have the New King James, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16? Could that be put up on the board of New King James? So we're in the kingdom of God. But what are we doing in the kingdom of God? We're in the church, but what are we doing in the church? Am I about my Father's business? There's not a doubt in my mind. There's not a doubt in my mind. When Jesus said this, it didn't resonate to them. He's not talking about the carpenter shop. He's not talking about his natural father on the earth. He's not talking about the wood shop. He's 12 years old. 12 years old. Listen to this. Going up to, I've got you in one place. I'm going to take you back over to another. Back over in the book of Luke. I like what this says. I'm going to start in verse 41. Now his parent, I'm going to read down to verse 49, because there's some rich stuff in here. Now his parents, verse 41 of Luke chapter 2. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year to the Passover feast. And I'm going to read kind of quick. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as was their custom. And when the feast was ended and they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Bethlehem. Now his parents did not know this. But supposing him to be in the caravan, they traveled on a day's journey, and then they sought him diligently, looking up and down for him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they failed to find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him, up and down all the way after 3 days. And after 3 days, they found him, came upon him in the court of the temple, sitting among the teachers, a 12-year-old child, sitting among the teachers, listening to and asking them questions. And here's what I want you to get a hold of. And all who heard this 12-year-old child were astonished and overwhelmed and bewildered with bewildered wonder at his intelligence and understanding and his replies. And when they, Joseph and Mary, saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you retreated? Why have you treated us like this? Here your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. We were stressed and tormented." And he said, "Why were you ticked off? Why were you stressed and tormented?" But he was sitting there, a 12-year-old child, and they were over adults. The teachers were overwhelmed by a 12-year-old boy's intelligence. And according to verse 52, that grew. He grew in wisdom and he grew in knowledge. He grew from that 12-year-old up into manhood. And he's about his Father's business. We have been appointed and assigned, church. Everyone in the kingdom of God, not just Christian Growth Center, but everyone who is in the kingdom of God, every person who is born again, has an assignment in the kingdom. We have a purpose in the kingdom. And it's more than just coming in here, opening the doors, coming here, sitting down and listening, going home. Much, much more than that. What are we doing? What are we doing with our assignment? And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, New King James. And it says, I like, there's one word in here I want to get you to latch on to and get a hold of. I'd read it better here. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every, I want you to look at the word every, what every, we're all part of that group, by what every joint supplies. According to the effective working by which every part, listen to this, does every part does its share.
Hello.
So what do we come to church for? I'm not getting on to you. I want to encourage you. I want to build you up. So what is my supply? When my supply gets activated, it causes growth. I'm not talking about this way. But it causes growth. When we get involved, it causes growth. When I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in the kingdom of God, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So if you want the church to grow, activate. Let's get ourselves involved. Amen. And do what we're supposed to do. You can't do, when you're about your Father's business, you can't do what somebody else is supposed to be doing. You can't do it. Amen. Now all that was just sidetracked because that's not even in my notes, praise God. But we need this. We need this. What if Pastor Todd, all he did was just come in here and said this, didn't study, didn't make phone calls, didn't contact anybody, and come out here on Sunday morning and just started talking? No preparation. It'd fall flat. I'm going to get to this in a minute. It's my next verse. Go to the book of Joshua. And Tricia was about to steal my thunder. And she didn't even know it. Listen to this. This is Joshua. And let's look in chapter 1, verse 6. Thank you, Father. He said, verse 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And listen to this. He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, confident, and of good courage. For you shall cause this people. He's functioning in his part. He said, you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only you be strong and very courageous. Now, I'm talking to everybody in here's congregation, but you take it personally. You be strong and very courageous. You be strong, very courageous, that you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not to the right, turn right hand, nor to the left, that you may prosper, wherever you go. Why? Because you're active, you're doing what God's called you to do. You're being about your Father's business in the kingdom. This is Old Testament, but we're still talking about what God wants us to do in the kingdom of God concerning the New Testament. What is my assignment in the New Testament? How can I increase the body? How can I make the church grow? How can I make myself grow? Do I get born again? Do I get born again and just sit down and say, well, that's it. I'm born again, going to heaven. Heaven. That's a southern word. Heaven. Heaven. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. I don't need to do anything. Don't need to fellowship with the saints. I don't need to be active in the church. You know what? You could get born again and sit and die and go to heaven. But your reward's going to be lacking. You get to heaven and God, then Jesus say, instead of saying, well done, he say, well. Well, so. But what am I doing? We need to have the attitude of Joshua and what God told Joshua to do. You be strong so that you can, and you will cause yourself to prosper. Amen. And then he goes on to say that you make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely. There's some good deals out there. I know George likes to make good deals. We've talked about deals all the time. But you may deal wisely and have good success. Have not I commanded you? I have commanded you. So I take this as a command for us. I take it for me. I command you to be strong. I command you to be vigorous. I command you to be very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua, verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the camp and command the people, prepare. Prepare your provisions. For within 3 days you shall pass over the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. It's preparation time. And that's what Tricia said a while ago. You've been prepared for this. And I wrote this down. We're preparing for what we are prepared for. Did y'all get that? We're preparing for what we are prepared for. God has prepared us for this time in this earth. But we need to act like we're prepared for it. Amen? Whatever He's called you to do, whatever you're to get occupied in, you're prepared for it, but you need to prepare for it. You're prepared for it, you need to prepare for it. Wake up, stir up. Yeah, get up, shut up, and go to work. But we need to, and I've said this so often, preparation time is never wasted time. Prepared time is never wasted time. Amen? So we need to have it. I am prepared for what I'm prepared for. I'm preparing for what I'm prepared for. I'll use this as an example. When we were, the story you heard before, but I'm going to tell you again. When we went to work with Brother Copeland, and Tricia went to work for him in 1979, November 1979, and I started working with the ministry in February 11th, 1980. And I started in the production. You know, the orders would come in for the, how many remember the LPs, long playing records, you know? We'd mail them out. And then we started mailing out the 8-tracks. And then we started mailing out the cassettes. And I left before they got the other. But that's what I was doing. I was busy. I was busy. I was occupied. And then the general manager came to me, and I was driving one of the trucks from the ministry downtown Fort Worth to the post office. And it was a dual axle truck, big box truck. And we'd fill it up with mail. How many have seen the mail gurneys at the post office, the big old gray mail gurney? We'd fill that up with product and fill the truck up. It was a 20, 22-foot box truck. And I'd drive it downtown to the post office. And one day the general manager came to me, Doug Neese came to me. He said, Rob, he said, would you drive the mail truck to California? We had a meeting out there in Long Beach, and this is from Fort Worth to Long Beach, California. I said, sure, I'll be glad to. Well, as time progressed, more and more product was added to the truck. And then he said, Rob, can you drive a semi? I said, sure. I'd never sat in a semi. I said, sure, I'll drive it. And about that time, he walked away, and Ed Hodgman, we had one truck then, one Peterbilt truck then. Ed Hodgman came up. He said, Rob, can you drive a semi? I said, you teach me how I can. So we went out, and at that time, there was 3 miles of runway. It was a triangle runway. It was 3 miles, one mile in each runway. And we got out there, and he's driving. He's shifting through them 13 gears, you know, and what have you, and double clutching it. And driving that semi, and he said, can you do that? I got in it and did it. Didn't miss a gear. And he said, can you back it up? So I backed it up. Well, the Copeland Ministry leased a semi. We didn't buy one at that time. They leased a semi to drive to California. So we went to Ryder Truck Line to drive to. I had to qualify on the truck that they were leasing. It was a cab over. What I tried out on was a long nose. And this is a cab over. Different shift pattern. It's a 9-speed different. I didn't know that shift pattern. And I'm looking at that. And the guy said, check this, 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 and this. Well, the Holy Spirit led me to what he wanted me to check on that truck. And he said, get in the, and he said, so he backed it out. He backed it out of the garage. And I said, okay, let's change seats. So I got in the seat. And he said, I want you to put it under that number. I think it was number 47, the trailer number. He said, I want you to back it up underneath that trailer over there and run up the landing gear and hook that trailer up. I had never done that. I backed that thing up underneath there, run up the landing gear, and hooked the hoses up where they're supposed to be hooked up. And then I got in that truck, and it was a 9-speed. And like I said, I didn't know the shift pattern. And he said, let's go to downtown Fort Worth. So we took off. I did not miss a gear. I didn't grind it. I didn't miss a gear. And he had a route picked out, you know, with low-hanging trees, signs and signs close to the road, you know, and all this stuff. So we're driving through and taking it back. He said, I want you to put that thing back where you got it from. And there's about 2 feet on either side of that trailer. I slid that thing in there like a ribbon. He said, you ready to go to California? I ain't going to tell you what happened on the trip to California. How many want to know what happened on the trip to California? We got to California. Well, we're driving. I'm going to tell you some little bit of experience driving out there. This truck was so bumpy. I laid my suits, you know, I had them in a suit bag in the sleeper. And that thing is bumping like this. And I had to hold it in gear because we were on such rough roads in Arizona and New Mexico. It was knocking that truck out of gear. I'm holding this and I'm shoving my suits back there and shoving my suits back there and holding it, shoving my suits back there. So we finally get to California. We get to California. We're going up the hill. I climbed that hill, and I didn't downshift before it went down. I barbecued some brakes. Man, and it was too late. I was going too fast. I couldn't downshift. So I'm cooking them brakes. I'm on them brakes. I'm smelling that stuff coming. And then breaker 19, somebody's cooking some brakes going down this mountain. And there was, I mean, it was all over the CBs. There's somebody cooking brakes. And to top it off, before you get to the end of the mountain, the foot of the mountain, there's a way station. I had to slow that big old thing down. It was loaded. I had to slow that thing down and pull in that way station. I pulled in there. And man, that smoke boiled out from on them axles. I just sat there like I was supposed to, and he just waved me on. I cooked them brakes. That was funny to me. So. But I thought, this thing ain't going to stop. This thing ain't going to, and sure enough, I was able to stop it. I don't know how I got off on that. Yes, I do, because it was an assignment. I was prepared. I was prepared for that truck. And that, then me not being able to slow that thing like I was supposed to, it didn't offend God at all. Didn't upset God. But as a result of that, and drove it back to Fort Worth. As a result of that, that was June of 1980. Then come probably August or September, the manager came to me, Doug came to me, he said, Rob, if we buy another truck, will you be the driver? Folks, there was a stack of applications from all over this nation of qualified truck drivers that wanted to drive a truck for Brother Copeland, at least this high. And I said, I'll be glad to. They bought a brand new long-nosed Peterbilt, and I put the first miles on it. Drove that thing across this nation, California, Detroit, up in Northern California, Southern California, D.C., Florida, all over this nation, back and forth. I'm going to tell you this real quick. We were in occasionally, probably 2 or 3, probably 4 or 5 months, Tricia, Brother Copeland, said I could take Tricia with me on a trip to one of those meetings, week-long meetings, or 3-day meeting. So we were headed to Miami. So I parked the truck down there close to the house. We were in Fort Worth. I parked the truck close to the house. And we got in that thing that morning. We take off. We're out on the interstate. And somebody, I said, oh, man, don't that guy know this thing? And just talking to the guy in front of me. Tricia said, why are you doing that? They can't hear you. And you're talking to those people in those cars. I don't understand why you're talking to those people in those cars. Yeah. And I, So this was in this was while we were in Fort Worth. So we're driving across Highway Interstate 20. We're headed across Interstate 20, and before we get to Alabama, can you believe those people? They look at them pulling out. When you ask, good, honey. That's good. But God allowed me. I was prepared for it to be about the Father's business and never come close to having a wreck. Across the mountains, I drove across Colorado. We'd drive into Colorado and it would out of Denver. We'd cross over the mountains and go into Fresno, California. I drove and never came close to having a wreck. Not even close. So there's that preparation. And while I was in the ministry on the road with Brother Copeland, I had opportunity to meet people and communicate with people. And it was preparing me to pastor. It was preparing me to pastor. People would come to the counter, the book counter, and they'd want to talk. Well, I'd be talking to them after everything was packed up and everybody headed to the hotel. Well, I'm standing there ministering to them, talking to them. That went on several times when we would go to those meetings. So there was a spiritual preparation of me getting ready to pastor. I had no idea I was going to pastor. No idea. But the preparation, I was being prepared what I was prepared for. Amen. And let's go to Luke chapter 4. I'll begin to wind this. I've got so much more. Luke chapter 4. And this is very familiar scripture, but still this bears repeating because of what Jesus did in doing the work of his Father's business. When you think of a business, George, give me an idea. When you think of a business, what do you think of?
Profit.
Money minded. Good answer. What do you think about the nuts and bolts of it, the workings of it? If you have a business and you have 20 employees, what do you expect?
They better be good ones.
I'm going to tell you what he expects. He expects excellence. I've been around this man long. He expects excellence. When we're about God's business, it's not perfection. And this may aggravate someone. I don't believe there's a perfectionist in this earth. Well, I'm a perfectionist. I've got to have this. No. I beg to differ with you. The only perfect one in this world was Jesus. We have a perfect spirit, but our flesh and our soul is not perfect. We can work with excellence. Excellence is doing. Excellence means I'm doing the best I can do. I'm doing the very best I can do. I can't improve on that. Someone else can improve on that. This person can improve. I'm doing the best I can do. And don't criticize someone for doing the best they can do. Amen. So that preparation. It's always, always being prepared to do what God has called us to do. And let's look in chapter 4, verse 18. The Amplified Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord," this is Jesus speaking, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He," God, "has anointed me," Jesus, the Anointed One, the Messiah, "to preach the good news." That's one of the functions of the business of God. "The good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity." That's part of the business of the Father. Well, now, if He has anointed him to do that, He's anointed us to do that, because He said, "Now you do it. You go. We can. I'm gonna bring this up now, but it's at the end of this message. Mark chapter 15 and verse 18 and 19. You go. Amen. I'm gonna go there. He said, I like it. In verse 15, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, Go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel to every creature of the whole human race. He who believes, listen to this, he who believes, who adheres to and trusts in and relies on the gospel and him who is set forth and is baptized will be saved from penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to and trust in and rely on the gospel and him who it sets forth will be condemned. And here's, listen to this. And these attesting signs will follow those who believe in my name. This is part of the work of the Father. This is part of the work of his business. What is his business? It's to set the captives free, to heal the sick. To build up those that are crushed and those that are downtrodden by calamity. We don't have to stay down. We do not have to stay down. And then it goes on to say, they will, those who believe in me, these signs will follow. Those who in my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents. And I'm not talking about the religion that's in these mountains and snake handlers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what happened to Paul. He picked up that viper and the viper bit him. And he just shook it off. It had no dominion over him. And even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will get well. So then Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven. And he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord kept working with them. He's in heaven, but he kept working with them. And confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Amen, so be it. Amen. So what is our assignment in this earth? Go into the world and preach and teach. You don't have to have a pulpit ministry. You don't have to stand behind a lectern and teach anyone. You can sit across the breakfast table and talk to somebody. You can sit at the work on a break and talk to somebody. Wherever you are, you can give out the word. George and I were in a restaurant down in Ormond Beach, probably a year ago, at Stonewood, and we were sitting there, and the waiter came up and he talked to us. You know, and I said, "Is there anything I can pray with you about?" And he said, "Sure, you can pray about my mom." And I said, "How is your relationship with Jesus?" "Well, I don't have one." And I said, "Would you like to know without a doubt that you have heaven as your home, your eternal salvation, if something happened to your life?" And I just ministered to him. And I led that man to God, standing right there at our table in a nice restaurant. Every time you have opportunity, talk to someone about their salvation. I remember Tempe Holder. Dear, dear friend. How many remember Tempe Holder? Those who don't. She was like a grandparent to Tricia and I. She and her husband, Bill. But Tricia said everywhere they'd go, that somebody behind the counter, she made them aware of God. She'd say something to make them aware of the reality of God. She'd sow a seed. She'd plant a seed. When you're talking to someone, you may be the sower. Someone else will water. But God gives the increase.
That's right.
God's going to get the glory out of it. You don't have to stand there. You don't have to stand there until you get them born again.
Right.
No, you just sow the seed. You just plant that seed. Amen? That's being about your Father's business is reproducing in the kingdom. Amen? And I've got so much more, but I'm going to finish up with these words. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. And this lets us all off the hook. This takes away any confusion. And chapter 3 and verse 9. Well, previous to that, it says one watered, one planted, or one planted, one watered, and God gives the increase. And this is what it says: for we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. And we're God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. You're God's building. And that under cultivation, I think that means that we're works in progress. We're all works in progress. So what am I doing? Am I fulfilling my part? Do I have the attitude that Jesus had? Am I about my Father's business? And it's not coming into the sanctuary to get involved in the Father's business. It's outside the walls where you're involved in the Father's business. Jesus walked. And when he got through walking, he talked. So wherever you go, spread the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Tricia, you got anything? Brother George, all hearts clear. Gene, you got anything? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, I believe there's more here, but we'd be here till 1 o'clock, and I'm not going to do y'all like that, unless y'all really want to. No. I believe that I've delivered what God wants us to have today, to be occupied. And there's a scripture: we need to be occupied till he comes. Until Jesus returns, we need to be occupied, busy about the Father's business. And it's amazing. Jesus knew that at 12 years old. But he didn't really start getting occupied until he was 30. And look at what he accomplished in those 3+ years. Turned the world right side up. Amen.
Amen.
I speak blessings upon y'all. Wow. May God watch over you. May he keep you. And may the blessings of God come upon you and overtake you. May they come upon you and overtake you as you put God first in your life. May you be blessed coming in, blessed going out. May you be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. May God command his blessings upon your storehouses. May God bless your businesses. May God bless your jobs. May God bless your extended families, far-reaching families, your children and your children's children. May everything that your hand touches, according to the will of God, be blessed in Jesus' name. And may the children of the kingdom of God be 10 times wiser than the children of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.